Welcome back to the Final Shot Podcast. Today, the show is brought to you by The Wellness Company. Go to twc.health/final shot. Make sure you put the final shot in there, because if you make a purchase, you're going to save some money. Go check out the spike support. That's the one that I kind of want to push on the show. I'm not a doctor and I didn't make it, so I'm going to have smarter people than me explain what spike support is to you guys later on in the show. But definitely go there, purchase it. It's going to help you out in the long run. They also have these wellness packs. Unfortunately, in communist Canada, we can't get some of them here because they have ivermectin in them. If you go back and watch a previous show that I did with Dr. Seek, he will tell you how you can get the kind of the equivalent to ivermectin through some stuff that you can buy at the grocery store. Guys, if you're on Rumble, not on YouTube, because I'm not allowed on there anymore, you can see my guest. But my guest today is one of the advisors for the Wellness Company Medical Board. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Trozzi, how are you today, sir?
Dan, it's a pleasure. Nice to see you.
I'm glad that you can make the time to come and talk to me. I know we had a little bit of a timing issue. I calculated the time change a little differently than Gage did, and I wasn't going to be home in time, but you made an hour allotance for me, and we got on here and we can get this done.
As God may have it, it worked out good. So no problems, Tanner. It was excellent.
So after a quick interweb search on the Goggle machine, I put your name in there and it came up and there was a list of things on there. Dr. Trozzi this, Dr. Trozzi that. Dr. Trozzi has had his medical license pulled from the board. Can you tell us a little, the small story that goes along with what happened there?
Well, with which part? I mean, so with regards to the College of Physicians Surgeons of Ontario?
Yes, sir.
So, well, also, I'll have to give you a little background. So I have a more than 25-year history as an emergency doctor. I taught 3 Ontario universities. For 15 years, I've taught critical resuscitation, taught trauma medicine to doctors from around the world, and pretty much virtually spotless career right up until actually very recently. And I still don't have a patient complaint. So in 2020, when COVID was launched, I was an emergency doctor, of course, working in multiple centers, including a COVID designated site. And so I was on the empty front lines when people were told the hospitals were full. And I was talking with doctors across Canada and North America and some around the world eventually, and similar situation. What people were being told and what was happening were different things. And rather than making TikTok videos, so I know that was what a lot of people did in empty hospitals, I actually studied a lot because I had completely like some shifts with zero patients. But I was told that I was going to be receiving this basically airborne Ebola, this super fatal disease. That was the story that, you know, was different than any other virus we'd ever heard of. And everything we were always learned how to treat disease wouldn't work anymore. We got to do things different. So during that period, I, of course, I'm also a scientist, of course, doctor scientist. So I spent a lot of time studying science. I had a lot of time and I studied a lot that year and I learned a lot of things. I learned about coronaviruses. I learned about their enzyme systems. I learned about how zinc interferes with them and how hydroxychloroquine helps get zinc into cells. I learned eventually about ivermectin. You know, I was learning actually about the disease. You know, there were researchers in the world like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Paul Merrick, and others. Patrick Phillips was a great source of information in Canada. So anyways, throughout that year, one thing that became very apparent was that the agenda was incorrect and that people were being hurt rather than helped. And that, of course, the research led into understanding what's going on at the World Health Organization, who Dr. Tedros is, Bill Gates, the investment strategies, big pharma. You know, there's a huge study to spend thousands of hours studying it like I was doing, and I've continued to do since then. And then came the forced injections, because you see, exaggerating the disease and death, locking down the society and abusing people, giving them no treatment for the disease. So when we tried to treat it, like Dr. McCullough and others, you know, we're no, you can't do that, right? Which is that's actually our duty to do that, to do good science, take care of people and save their lives and stuff. That's what we're supposed to do, not follow Bill Gates' agenda. And all this was herding everyone to these injections. The only way out's the quote vaccine. Well, I've always been one of those kids that reads the ingredients, you know, cereal boxes and stuff. But especially I read the ingredients when I'm going to stick something into someone else's body or even consider recommending for it or against it. So I studied the injections too. And those are not vaccines, you know. So by the end of 2020, I realized, well, here's this dangerous genetic experiment, you know, involving pegylated nanoparticles, which achieve pretty much infinite penetration of tissues, even through the pregnant woman into the unborn child, to have the cells of the body hacked genetically to produce the spike protein, the most toxic part of this patented coronavirus, the same patented sequence in the injection, which would, of course, poison people and worse, would create this autoimmune attack and all these diseases, the myocarditis in the kids, the abortions in the women, the strokes, then and completely sideline the immune system so that cancers go wild. So I could see all this stuff was a risk because I was studying it. So at the end of 2020, when I could see that medicine in many ways under this regime was becoming a cult, and I knew that people needed to be alerted, right? The Hippocratic Oath would definitely require me to tell you and your family if you're about to get injected with something that I personally consider poisonous and ill-advised. So I actually, again, no problems with my license, pretty spotless career. I actually resigned all my jobs. I wrote to my hospitals and I said, I have to go on a human rights project and I am taking a long sabbatical. So for the time being, I'm just going to resign. I didn't want to burn any bridges, but I knew what had to be done had to be done. I knew there was going to be no money in doing it. And so I sold the family house. We downscaled and based on life savings, put myself to work for the last now 3 years. And in that period, I've researched, I've taught, I've wrote, I've worked with scientists and doctors around the world. I've become one of the steering committee members of the World Council for Health. I've been involved in the research, developing the treatments, getting the information to the people, support, eventually supporting the lawyers, getting the autopsies to the families with the dead kids. So I've worked very hard. Now, and again, no problem with the CPSO, because I called the CPSO too, said, you know, I'm taking a break because I got to do human rights work. So, but of course I still had a good license. Now, partway into that came the part of the story, which was the forced injections. Remember the mandates? You want to keep your job, right? Now, that's a pretty heavy thing. Now, remember, I read the ingredients. So I know we're talking about a dangerous genetic experiment that can only do harm in a field, coronavirus, which we already knew is a crazy field. And we all also know you don't vaccinate your way out of an actual pandemic. So there was a lot of reasons that I had very serious concerns. And now the people of my province, country, and really the people of the world are being forced into injections. And people are going, I want an exemption notice. People are like, I want to keep my house. I want to feed my children. I want to keep my job, or I want to stay in my program in university, or I still want to play basketball. There's lots of reasons that people were being forced to take an injection that they didn't want. And that's called coercion, and that's a form of assault in medicine. And this is really important for people to understand. If somebody doesn't want a treatment, even if they're saying they want it because somebody's, figuratively speaking, twisting their arm, it's considered assault to give them that injection, right? And if you don't mind me belaboring this for a moment, it's really important people understand this. This is basic philosophy class in medical school. A very classic example, a girl comes into a hospital with her boyfriend and she says she wants an abortion. Something that you're the doctor, something doesn't quite feel right. She seems nervous. The boyfriend seems like a little overbearing. And at any point, at some point you get a chance to speak with the patient herself, by herself. And you say, what's going on? And she goes, I don't really want an abortion. But he said, if I don't get an abortion, he'll kill me. He'll throw me down a stairwell of the apartment. Okay. So here's the thing. She might still want the abortion to avoid being thrown down the stairwell of the apartment, but she doesn't really want it. It's called coercion. She's being forced. It could be the same thing if said, I don't want the abortion, but my employer said I'll lose my job and I'll have to lose my house and I can't feed my kids if I don't take the abortion. You see the similar thing. So back when people were having their arms twisted, I consulted with multiple constitutional lawyers of Canada, multiple lawyers around the world. Like, remember, at this point, I'm part of the World Council for Health. We're building teams across Canada, around the world, dealing with this crisis of human rights abuse and a major health abuse of people around the world through this whole WHO agenda. And so, after much consultation, I wrote an exemption for about 20 people, but really it was demonstrating a point. And my exemption, I'd said to the, I would ask a person who'd asked, I'd say, "Do you want this injection?" "No." "Well, why are you getting it?" "Well, because I have to keep my job." I say, "Well, let me make sure I understand. You don't really want this injection, but you're being coerced to take this injection." "Yes." "Okay, that makes it illegal for me to give you the injection. That's called assault. It's a criminal offense." So I wrote notes that said, "This person, John Baker, does not want this injection, and they're being coerced, which makes it illegal and an assault for me or anyone else to give them the injection." That's just the law as it exists, international, federal, provincial, the rules of the College of Physicians and Surgeons, etc. So, anyways, shortly following that, I get a notification. I mean, I'm still busy working very hard for free, like 16-hour days, fighting this mission. And anyone, probably some people watching this know I am already, but if you go to drtrosi.org or worldcouncilforhealth.org, or you use a real search engine, not Google, use like any real search engine, you're gonna see, you know, I've produced millions and millions of views of information and stuff for people. But in any event, I get a notification from the college. "We're putting 19 investigators to investigate you because you wrote these exemption notes and you said some stuff that doesn't agree with public health." And I'll tell you honestly, at that point, I thought two things. First of all, I'm already living without that income because I've taken on this mission. And two, I've still got the major thing of trying to protect human life, especially in my province and my country, but help do it all around the world. And three, if 19 investigators go to investigate my website and they're getting paid a couple hundred grand each to do it a year, they are going to learn a lot. So I actually, optimistically, I thought, well, you know what? They're gonna see the autopsy material I'm showing. They're gonna see the work of all the scientists that I've collated. They're gonna look at the data. They're gonna look at the physiology, biochemistry, and they are going to put a halt on the shots. And maybe they're not going to give me an award, but I certainly thought they're going to realize just what I'm doing out here. And they're going to go, "Wow, this guy's doing what we're supposed to do. We've been fooled. This is not a safe, effective vaccine." To my surprise, they did not do that. They persisted. But I still, my license was still active. Then there's another good doctor. There's many good doctors. By the way, I'm not the only one the college has come after. This is a very unusual 3 years. There's thousands of doctors in this country who wouldn't take the shot and left their jobs. And there's hundreds of us who stood up, and there's at least 100 who stood up strong. And you know, the Charles Hoff, the Steve Maltas, the Francis Crichton, Patrick Phillips, Roisin, Crystal Lipsky, Dr. Shoemaker, Chris Milburn. It goes on and on. I'm not just some odd character. But in any event, Dr. Lipsky, she did some things they didn't like. One of them was she wouldn't commit fraud on a death certificate. So when somebody died with stage four cancer, and as a palliative care doctor who helped people through that very difficult part of life, she put on the death certificate, cause of death, stage four cancer. But she was told, no, change that to COVID. Well, why? Well, look at the billing codes, folks. Look at the billing codes. When people follow billing codes instead of good medicine, people die and it's considered assault. But in any event, a few more steps into that, they like suspend her license. So now she's got 1,700 patients who are uncared for, a lot of them elderly on multiple medications, a lot of palliative people with chronic pain. Like, she was really one of those people who was able to nurse people. I'm an eMERGE doc, nurse people through tough stuff. And her patients are in terrible shape. In fact, they're one of them actually commits suicide. So Michael Alexander, the great constitutional lawyer, one of the great constitutional lawyers in our country, standing against this COVID agenda, he reaches out to me and says, "Hey, Crystal Lipsky suspended license. Her patients are in a dire strait. She, her family, like if her clinic goes apart, she's a young doctor with a family." He says, "Can you go, and you still have a license? Can you go and take care of that clinic? You know, it's not eMERGE what you normally do." But I said, "Well, I'm so busy basically, you know, doing the human rights work that I'm doing in the big crisis, I can't take on a full-time practice. So I reached out to Dr. Chris Shoemaker, another heroic doctor in our country. And I said, Chris, what do you say? You and I keep doing our work. We'll base ourselves up at Crystals in Barrie. And between the two of us, let's take care of those sick people in our office. So that's what we went to do. So I have to notify the college that I will, on this date, I think it was December 6th, 2022, I think. On this date, I will resume practice at this address. Well, they would look and go, whoa, he's going to go rescue Dr. Lutschke? I don't think so. So I went in and I worked half a day before they suspended my license. They suspended my license when I went to rescue Dr. Lutschke's practice. And I'll tell you something, and they launched investigations into Dr. Shoemaker the same day. It's like, you boys ain't going to help her. You know, it's like, you know what a bully's like? No, don't you defend the kid that we're slapping around here. But we're sticking together. I stick together with the good doctors, right? Like Dr. Phillips is one of the greatest doctors in our country. He's the most persecuted by them, but he's one of the greatest doctors in the country. God bless Dr. Phillips, by the way. In any event, I want to tell you this. When I worked that half a day, I saw four people who needed a bunch of attention because they hadn't been seen in a while. But while Dr. Lutschke was unavailable to advise and protect her patients, they all got shot up with these COVID-19 experimental genetic injections. Now, I know not everybody got that sick from them, but it's quite interesting that in those four patients, I saw six. So that means two of them had two of these. I saw six major complications associated with these jabs. I saw a case where over the months since the jabs, you know, some of these things were underway. I saw blood clot in the leg, blood clot in the lung, shingles, Bell's palsy, the typical hemorrhagic rash. Ooh. And what was the other one? It was another shingles on a different body distribution. So, you know, it's like the universe is telling me, Mark, you've been so right. And the college is telling me, but we're going to be so wrong. We're actually going to fight against you doctors who are trying to save lives in this province. So they suspended my license. So unfortunately, Crystal Lutschke's practice dissolved, her and her family surviving as they can. And those patients, I don't know what's happened to them. As for me, I just kept on with the mission. So, you know, the World Council for Health, that's a big, big focus. I'm one of the steering committee members. I was the chair of the Health and Science Committee along with Dr. Plotha. And now we've got a young Canadian, Matthew Helma, and Dr. Ramirez from the UK, doing an amazing job as our chairs of health science. We got teams working on this across the board, legal committees. Yesterday, we hosted a big panel of lawyers from around the world, Monday, looking at how do we tackle the criminality that's going on with these injections. You know, some of the recent revelations of contamination and DNA and all this stuff. So that's what I'm doing. I'm working very hard. Luckily, I live lean. My wife is so kind. She accepts the fact that we live lean. We do get some donations, and we're gonna keep fighting until we see human rights and the rule of law in this province and on this planet. That's where things are at.
Well, that's a bit of a tough go for the last couple of years. I commend you on staying the course. What a tough decision with a wife, and if you have kids, just living kind of foot to mouth is very, very hard, especially in today's economy right now when you go to buy a 4-liter jug of milk and it's $7.
Yeah, it's amazing how tough things are getting that way. You know, it's an interesting thing because back at the beginning of this, I'm not the most I'm more of a science guy and health guy, so I'm no literary expert. I'm not a great quoter of the Bible and everything, but it is interesting that back in the end of 2020, when this was going on, you know, there was an old verse actually from Jesus that came into my head quite a bit. He says, you cannot serve God and be a slave to money. And, you know, I never had to make that decision so intensely, but clearly in this situation, I am very aware that I'm doing the right thing and that I'm doing what must be done. I'm proud to stand behind, you know, the colleagues I have, the other doctors in the world who are fighting this, like Dr. McCullough, Dr. Marcus, Dr. Alexander, Dr. Bridle, Dr. Malone. You know, these are my colleagues. And so when I look around the room at the people that I'm with now, And, you know, at the same time as this nonsense is so severe in Canada, I just came back from Romania, where the parliament had us go there to teach them and give advice. And the press conference we published a few days ago. So I'm proud of what I'm doing. And I'm in, you know, I don't know what to say about the actions of people at the college. I think they should read that same verse. I think it's Mark 6 and 12 would help them. And they should really study the material on my site and stop denying reality. You know, because power doesn't, you could take the nurses out in the street and whip them until they say the shot's safe and effective. That doesn't make the shot safe and effective. And, you know, it's not just us doctors. We've got a lot of nurses who've been abused and have done the right thing. And God bless them, too. These are the people you can trust.
Well, it's amazing to see the Canadian government still trying to push the shot so fiercely. It's not to the extent where we have our fearless prime minister on Twitter telling children to tell their parents to leave the room so that he can talk to them about getting a COVID vaccine anymore. But it's subliminal messaging through TV. The NFL game today is brought to you by Pfizer. The Simpsons is brought to you by Pfizer. It's constantly beat into our heads that we have to go get these shots. And there's a giant majority of people out there that are, they're just brainwashed into watching TV, taking the advice from the government blindly because they think they're going to save them and going and doing what they're told.
Well, you're so right. And, you know, in empathy for those, all, if you look at the last 3 years, I mean, think of life before March 2020, right? And then think of it after. We have been through such severe organized mental abuse as a society that if anybody seems crazy or brainwashed, it's no wonder. I mean, if you do the right things, you can drive a herd of beautiful horses off a cliff. It doesn't make them bad horses. It's just evil to do that. And when you look at the level of propaganda and planning and manipulation and coercion and criminality in this whole COVID agenda, it's no wonder that you got people like running for a shot, thinking it's going to save them. It's not their fault. And the biggest thing we got to do is, you know, kind of give everybody a hug. I mean, of course, shedding is an issue, but give everybody a hug. And we got to take a breath, folks, because we've all been abused and it's time to wake up.
Well, you are right. It's nobody's fault but the people that are pushing it. And you can't blame Bobby Joe down the street because they've got 7 COVID vaccines. It's realistically not their fault. But at the same time, the information is readily available for people to find it if they just do a little bit of work.
Yeah, you're so right. And you know, sadly, something that obviously I wanted to prevent, right? And I know that I've helped hopefully millions of people by giving them the right advice, either that they've treated the injuries or they haven't gotten injected or given it to their kids. But I would have rather totally prevented it. You know, I tried to get ahead of this thing, right? I left work before the shots quite rolled out and tried to tell everybody. So if I had stopped these shots entirely, right, and got shot dead or never and lost my job and, you know, just pumped gas at the corner because they were nice enough to me, that would have been a success and I would have been proud of my life. But that didn't happen. And unfortunately, as much as, yes, we've helped save a lot of people from these shots, a lot of people have had these shots and a lot of them had quite a few shots. And that means we now can see what people like myself warned about. It's there now. And you can look at the data on the autopsies and it's phenomenal. You know, Dr. Max's work, Denny Raincourt's work, Ryan Cole's work, Professor Burkhardt, God bless his soul, rest in peace, but his work on the autopsies. But you don't have to, because you just have to ask people. And this is a great question for anybody. It's like, okay, think about 2020 before the shots. Think about the old COVID days. And think about who do you know back in 2020 that got a really, really bad cold called COVID and died. Mm-hmm. And I asked that to halls full of, say, I asked 300 people, maybe none, one or two will put their hand up. And you know what? It's sad because the truth is the treatment protocols we were trying to advise that these same bodies were blocking would have saved 85% of them too. But then you ask, okay, since the shots rolled out, How many of you know somebody who's dead or has a new severe cancer or major disability that you are pretty sure is from the shot? And you know what? Almost everybody's hand goes up. I've even had people say to me, Mark, I don't know why you keep going. Nobody's going to believe you because everybody's fine. I'm like, really? Everybody's fine? And they go, yeah, people took the shot. They're still fine. I'm like, okay, let's just think about that for a sec. Do you know anybody who's got cancer lately? Well, I know this one and this one. Do you know anybody's had a heart attack? Oh yeah, well, this one had a heart attack and died. And then strangely, this kid had a heart attack and died. He's only 30 years old. And then you go, do you see? Do you see? Because everybody, you don't even need the scientists anymore. You could just talk to your friends, ask, look around, do the basic math. What happened in 2020? What happened after? Who took the shots? Who's getting the most COVID? People that took the most shots. I mean, you could see that in studies. I did a presentation in Romania. You could see every shot makes you more likely to get COVID and get sick with COVID, never mind all the other problems. So hopefully people look around and then rather than just dying, get on the detox, heal themselves, and then help us fight this war and realize what people just tried to do and just what these people did to all of us. Mm-hmm. And Pfizer, you know, you mentioned Pfizer. The history of Pfizer, people need to look it up. Before COVID even started, Pfizer historically has paid the largest criminal fines in U.S. history. For what? Well, for committing fraud that marketed drugs that killed people. So if I say Pfizer's got this injection that they're fraudulently calling a safe and effective vaccine and that it makes so much money they can grease palms and politicians all over the place, and it kills people, that should be no surprise. It's not their first time. They've done it multiple times before. This is the biggest one. And this is the wake up where people have to decide, you know, wake up, get on the detox and help fight this war and take back the world, for God's sakes.
Here's a question for you then, because I've been seeing a string, and it's a long string, of people having to get their gallbladders removed. And it's just in the last couple of years that I'm hearing that people are getting like, when you need your gallbladder removed, you get fairly sick. We had a guy in town here where I live. He looked like he was going to black out and he needed his gallbladder removed. But he's probably the 30th person in my area that I've heard that's had to have that removed. Could that be something due to a vaccine?
That's fascinating. I mean, it hasn't stood out as one of the most common things in general. I wish I was on my website right now, because right on the homepage of my website is 1,000 articles that goes through all diseases. Because there's 1,270 and growing list of reported types of adverse events from the shots. But the biggest problem with all of them is that the mechanism of injury is being denied. So doctors like Dr. Shoemaker and Dr. Luchke and Killian and Phillips, who know about the spike protein disease that's caused by these injections, well, they're not allowed to be in the hospitals or clinics right now. And people pay taxes, but they can't see the doctors who even will recognize it. And if a doctor does recognize it, if a doctor says, oh, this is a side effect of the shot, well, if he says it, then they're going to suspend his license too. And they've got Dr. Phillips and Trozzi tied to a pole out there, so to speak, to prove, don't think about it. So doctors are like, I'm blown away. I've got some nurses still keep in touch with me who've avoided the jobs, but now they're back in the system. And they're like, Mark, it's bizarre. We see people all day with like stuff. You go, this isn't normal. I've been in this business 20 years. What have I got? Another 30-year-old with brain cancer today. I got this 40-year-old with like a thrombus of the giant veins in their brain. I mean, weird stuff. But it's new myocarditis, so much myocarditis that they're making, you know, intensive care heart units for teenagers, but they're going, no, nothing to do with shots, right? But the underlying thing is that the body hijacked with all this genetic material. There's now we've learned there's even more to it, but let's just stay on the spike protein for the moment. Pumps out spike protein in their brain, in their heart, all over their body. It flows around, it grabs on receptors. And it's a little bit toxic in of itself. Spike protein is a toxin. That's not news. That's old research with hamsters. But what happens now is all the cells have foreign proteins on them, and that marks them for the immune system of the person's body to attack that. So you have the kid with the heart. If you could be in a country that would do the responsible autopsy, God forbid they die, and they will if they're not treated like by someone who knows what they're doing often. You know, Sean Hartman, God bless him, you know, and his father and mother. But the autoimmune attack also sidelines the whole immune system. So it creates holes in the immune system for other infections and cancers. And there's we don't have time to go into it, but how there's a process called antibody-dependent enhancement, particularly with coronaviruses, where it actually makes coronaviruses particularly better at attacking that person, and it helps drive the growth of variants. You know, I wrote about all this stuff in 2021. There's an article in the video I put out, COVID vaccines, how dangerous are they? And I go through this, and everything I said in there is happening. I don't know. Again, it's sad that the college is hassling me rather than giving me an award.
Yeah.
But the trick now is whatever the outcomes are. So person can go to the doctor. Oh, well, they say, oh, well, your kid has myocarditis. Oh, they go, oh, well, you know, you got nephritis, your kidney's failing. Oh, you got a blood clot in your leg. Oh, this one over here has got shingles. All these things. But the underlying process is spike protein poisoning and an autoimmune attack plus immune system disruption. That's not being recognized as existing. So all these people, there has been an underlying thing that needs to be dealt with. And if doctors don't even recognize that it exists, people are in big trouble. And that's why we focus on educating and providing the things people need to detoxify this garbage as much as we can. And as we keep advancing our knowledge, we'll keep improving the teaching that we have for people.
Well, when it comes to COVID-19 and the vaccines, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And I'll ask anybody a question. I don't really care who it is. What do you think? What do you think? But as soon as I start talking, they're like, oh, that's far right. You're a far right conspiracy theorist.
What's it got to do with the right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
I wear that as a badge of honor. Thank you guys for
giving
me that. But the origins of COVID and where it came from and how it started is something that I would really like to be answered. I have my own thoughts on it. I'd like to hear yours.
Well, sure. I'll be glad to give you my thoughts. And my thoughts are kind of typical the way an emergency doctor gets through. Like we stand on the shoulders of giants. That's an old saying. Never does man see so far as when he stands on the shoulders of giants. So I study scientists and science and advanced clinicians. So I don't just make stuff up. So I think that one definitely should look at the work of Dr. David Martin. Anyone who hasn't looked at David Martin, go on my website, take David Martin and look at his last presentation of the European Union, etc. So the patents related to the products associated with COVID, and that includes the genetic sequence in the injections, which is the genetic sequence in the man-made virus. Those patents go back years before COVID. So this is not possible if a bat went into a market and got a lady sick and it came out of the Wuhan market, the official story. Like there's a lot of official stories that are BS, right?
Yeah.
So the truth is, and the paper trail is there. And again, if people are like, what's he talking about? Just go look at David Martin's work. If you really want to be sure, look through the entire Fauci dossier yourself, and you will see that that Anthony Fauci, who is one of the arch criminals on this planet right now, in my opinion, Anthony Fauci diverted many millions of American taxpayer dollars, even when there was a moratorium on what they call gain of function research. Think of what does it mean, gain of function for an infectious organism? That's called bioweapons in my language. If you're trying to make viruses more dangerous, more infectious, make them, that's not a nice thing to do. That's not a thing you do on a loving planet. And there was a moratorium on it, even under Obama, the master of war. But he went around that moratorium, involved Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance, and it starts in South Carolina, Chapel Hill University. It gets a little time up in Canada. Trudeau has a piece of the action. They call that racketeering in legal terms. And so in terms of the virus was man-made in multiple stages. The finishing work was done in Wuhan. And in terms of the injection, it's part of the same process because it has the same genetic sequence. And so the idea that at the speed of science or whatever, they made this injection that's not a vaccine and called it a vaccine and forced on everybody. No, the patents go back before the problem is launched. You know, it's planned. You know, people should look at event 201. You know, John Hopkins, the Department of Defense, three-letter agencies, Bill and Melinda Gates, they planned this thing. you know, and it's been extremely profitable. It's allowed them in advance a political agenda that they call, you know, the Great Reset. Most humans would call it hell on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they've amassed phenomenal wealth, and they have truly tested a lot of humans on the issue of like, will you serve God or money? Because a lot of people are making a paycheck and doing their part in this agenda. And it's time to wake up, folks, because your grandkids need a free world to live in, and they need health, and they don't need their parents genetically modified and themselves as well.
Well, I have a few people that ask me why I keep talking about it. Why do I keep beating a dead drum? Well, for one, it's not a dead drum. And two, a lot of people have forgot what happened 3 years ago, and they need to be reminded of exactly what happened to every human on this planet.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to the origins of COVID, I definitely think it was manufactured, released. Like, if you make the gun, you make the bullet to fit the gun, you put the bullet in the gun, and you pull the trigger, and you offer the cure for the bullet. It's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, that's totally it.
So there's a lot of one percenters, elites in the world that made a ton of money,
yes,
off of killing a mass amount of humans, or could, yes, kill a mass amount of humans.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't quite understand is this isn't the end. Like,
no, unfortunately,
they're not done.
We have to end this. No,
they're
if we don't
done.
End this, no, not at all. And I mean, the evidence of that is overwhelming. The IHR amendment. Sorry, the World Health Organization functions as the conduit of control on the world. So in other words, Pfizer, Moderna, BlackRock, Bill and Melinda Gates, Vanguard, all these companies, drug companies, they all are interconnected with the World Health Organization. They finance a lot of it. Unlike our taxpayer financing the World Health Organization, we all pay taxes, and a lot of it goes to them, and we should stop that immediately. We're demanding stop funding the WHO, destroy the WHO, arrest the WHO. But the other big chunk of funding comes from these private entities, but unlike us, they get to say how it's spent. So get how that works? The people pay taxes, but a private organization puts in some money and says, okay, this is what you're going to do to the people. Lock them down, make them take these shots, all this stuff. And look at what they've done. I mean, people that don't know it, there's more than 17 million humans dead so far as a direct result in the injection, hundreds of millions injured. And despite people taking less shots, the death and injuries are still going up. So this thing is not even over based on what they did. But they did that with the paperwork they had in place, which they laid in place a decade earlier. Right now, they are preparing paperwork to give themselves, in my mind, delusionally, because I will fight for my children, but they're preparing the paperwork to assign themselves dictatorial power over everything associated with life on this planet. And by that, I mean not just people and their bodies and their children. I mean their dog, their cat, the grass, the rain, the environment, carbon dioxide. They're claiming authority over all of it and using health as the excuse to be a dictatorship in the world. You know, and to illustrate this, if people look at, you know, a lot of stuff seems boring for people, but your lives are on the line and so are your kids. So you can't afford not to pay attention. The IHR amendment, so they're amending this 2005 International Health Regulations that is sort of supposed to be the operating manual of the World Health Organization. And there's a lot of changes. At the worldcouncilforhealth.org, you can get a briefing. You can look through the changes line by line. We explain it. But one of the most obvious is there's a line near the beginning where it says, it did say, with full respect for human rights and dignity. And you know what? They scratched it out. They said, nope. When you delete full respect for human rights and dignity, what are you planning, Mr. Bernardo? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this summer of fun that we've been through, because everyone was tired of the four shots, of trying to dodge the four shots, of having to wear muzzles. And then here's the summer of fun. So what I did, because I know what they're up to, is I continued to work 16 to 18 hours a day fighting against this thing. In fact, they're set. If we haven't succeeded, and anyone who hasn't signed the petitions yet against the IHR, go to my website and type out WHO and go for the last thing to help stop the WHO and at least sign the petitions. You don't have to write them. We've done that. But if we don't stop this, they'll begin a clock ticking to this bunch of amendments that, like the ones I'm saying, no more human rights, dignity,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to try and vote on this in May. They've got labs all over the world making viruses. They've got labs all over the world. They're building labs to make more of these toxic injections. So people, the war happens in this world sometime, and it always looks different. And this time it looks like this. And if you're interested in survival, help. And for, by God, for sure, don't get in the way of the people trying to. And that goes to people at the college too. If you're not going to help, please get out of the way.
Yes, exactly. Get the heck out of the way. If you don't want to help, move.
Yeah, because we're trying to save you too, right?
It's not that you're trying to save everybody. You're not trying to save just one person, yourself, your kids, or your wife. You're trying to help everybody. You're putting the information out there so that everybody can access it. Unfortunately, it does get silenced on some levels due to propaganda.
Well, yeah, you know, we gotta learn some. You know, people have this weird saying when they're gonna try to look something up on a computer. I don't use it. They say I'll Google it. Don't Google things. Google is a deceptive propaganda machine. It's funny, if you look on another search engine, let's say you go on Yandex or Mojik, or go on a search engine and type, for instance, Dr. Mark Trozzi. Well, you're gonna go, wow, look at all the work. This guy's great. He's really helping people. You type it into Google, what do you see? CPSO, he's dishonorable, incompetent, he's crazy, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, so people stop Googling things. Another thing, Wikipedia. I mean, Wikipedia might tell you the truth about the structure of an insect's leg, but anything that has any political implications, it's super biased. You look up the World Council for Health, you look at all the great work we're doing, you look at the World Council for Health there, you think we're a bunch of crackpots. In fact, we've had scientists, because people are waking up. Denny Rancourt came to a meeting to present to one of our online live, you know, present his mathematics about the death statistics and whatnot. And he said, you know, when I read Wikipedia's article about you guys, I knew you must be good. So people got to stop trusting liars. I mean, the CBC, you know, like people are like, when are they going to tell the truth? Never, never. It doesn't matter. Stop listening. We're the mainstream. They're the dinosaur. The mainstream is us being real, talking truthful, being genuine, not these talking heads.
Well, when I was a kid, when I would watch movies, I was always drawn to who the bad guy was. I always felt that they were the most compelling character in the story. Later on in life, I was actually given the nickname the bad guy.
Come
But
on.
now, when you look at this fight, you're the bad guy. That's what they're telling everybody. Dr. Troze, you're the bad guy.
But people see through it. People know they're the bad guy. In fact, when they had me in the last trial, and I'm honestly, I'm trying to reach out love. I'm trying to be a, you know, a Christian or anything, and say, hey, you know, just wake up. You were lied to. I'll forgive you in a moment. Just say, whoa, we're going to try to stop the shots, Dr. Mark. And I'll say, I'm with you. We're a team. I understand. Don't even have to, but forgiven. It's over. Let's just do the right thing now. People need our help. So, but when I was in, I'm in that hearing, and I'm going, who's on trial here? Because I know the science, and everything they're saying about me is the reason I got an award sitting here on the shelf, a Medical Heroes Award, right? You know, and I'm thinking, are they incriminating themselves? And yeah, they probably are, because you got to remember, this was just the kangaroo court. We haven't taken it into a court. Now, we don't know if courts exist, or we have to go to the people like the NCI for a real court. But people wrote hundreds of letters online. You got to look at the comments on my site. They received thousands, like 20,000 petition. I didn't even know who started it.
Wow.
And hundreds of letters to the college saying, stop what you're doing. This man is a hero. You're poisoning people. So they're the bad guy. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I mean, you know, everybody makes mistakes, and it's a good time to turn their path. But I don't buy into their agenda. I don't repeat their agenda. I'm not the bad guy. I'm clearly, you know, I'm an imperfect man, but in this story, I'm clearly one of the heroes, and I'm proud of it.
I would agree.
Thank you,
But
sir.
it's still intriguing that they would peg you as the bad guy, and you're doing good work. And when you get to the underlying issue of a bad guy in a movie, there's still a human being underneath there. So at the same time, I'm always drawn to who they call the bad guy.
Well, a lot. Well, I think they called Christ a bad guy at the time, although the people didn't seem to agree with that.
That's true. Very true. But you mentioned kangaroo courts, and we're kind of seeing that go on in Canada right now, up in the communist capital, Ottawa, with the Chris Barber, Tamara Lynch trial. You're a Canadian man, obviously. You paid attention to the trucker convoy, and I think that those two are going to be in for a heck of a jail sentence by the time they're done with them.
My God, I sure hope not. You know, that's a fine woman and a mother of children, and she's stood up for Canadians. And you know, I mean, is she going to be the president like Nelson Mandela? And how long are we going to have to wait for her to get out? But you know, it's a lawless time. Like we're living in a time where I think it's a crisis of legitimacy. In other words, you know, if a doctor kills you, it's not legitimately a doctor. If a nurse beats you, she's not legitimately a nurse. If a government, rather than protect you, if it arrests the people that try to protect you, it's not a legitimate government. You know, and ultimately in the end, you know, I've spent a lot of time pondering this, and it's not easy. Neither was George Washington and his friend's experience, but ultimately the government is the people, because it's a democracy. And I'm sure you're the same, Tanner. I do not accept that we live in a dictatorship run by money. And so I'm going to keep going with the people. And my God, if they lock Tamara Lynch up, remember, these are names and faces. That's who we remember. Every judge, every prosecutor that does a good thing and a bad thing is a name and a face. Very important people remember that. You know, if somebody, I don't know, I think everybody has a different way of dealing with things. Like, but a common thing is say, well, okay, what would you do if somebody tried to poison or kill your kid? What would you do? You know, maybe someone would say, well, I would cry. You know, maybe someone would say, I would ask them to please stop. Or I would write them a letter and file it and hope, or I would call the police and see if they would stop. I don't know. But everybody should get creative, because that is really happening to everybody.
It is. Out here in Saskatchewan, we call it shoot, shovel, and shut up. But I'll protect my kids with my life. I don't care
Well,
who.
you know what? I appreciate that. And you know, I've called for the military and police to do their part since 2021, because that is, you know, just as doctor's duty is supposed to be what I'm and others are doing. There are people whose duty is to protect us. But we have to survive. We have to protect ourselves. You know, I'm at no point is it reasonable to just say, okay, you can just inject and rape my children. No problem. If the paper says so, that's not right. That's unlawful.
Well, if you're a law enforcement officer or something in that line of work and you're still toeing the line, you need to go take a real long look at yourself in the mirror, because you're a public servant. You serve the public. It says on your vehicle, serve and protect. You're not doing that right now. You're collecting taxes.
There's tough decisions to be made by everybody to
Very
do
tough.
the right thing.
But we need to start doing it now. We can't wait anymore.
Amen.
The
Amen.
time for waiting for the next pandemic, which is coming,
No.
we can't
Yeah,
sit on our
exactly.
butts anymore. We got to get up. If you're at home and you feel the same way, go say something. Start talking. Talk to your friends. Talk on your social
Yeah.
media. Start a podcast. I'm telling you right now, I'm not famous. The wellness company approached me to do these interviews with the doctors from the wellness company. I'm very flattered, but I'm nobody. Just
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, someone sent me something the other day, and it really woke me up a little bit. They sent this thing and it said, God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called. And that is kind of, when you look at our ancient stories, you know, it's a lot of times it's you know, just some guy coming out of the desert, but if you feel called, which obviously you do, to do certain things about truth and righteousness and safety of people and stopping mass murder and stuff, then I'm with you.
You're obviously a religious man. You've
Well, a
mentioned.
little bit. The last couple of years has made me more religious.
Okay.
You know, but I've always been imperfect, so I guess that made me have to use the Christian card. But I mean, I think our basic underlying principles of society, that as I understand, are like, do unto others as you do unto yourself, like the golden rule. And that's true. You know, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, every reasonable religion, and you know, Satan worshipers aren't reasonable, but all the reasonable ones are good with that. Even just philosophical people who may be agnostic or atheists, but as long as you follow the golden rule, to me, that's good enough. And And if people get caught up in religion and somehow the golden rule doesn't apply, then they've missed the point. You know, it is simple. It is simple to practice love and truth and wisdom, you know, but we don't have to feed the vampire. Don't say, okay, here, suck the blood out of my neck. I love you. No, you got to be wise and protect our children and each other.
My father, he's a very devout religious person, and he's always on me to turn my life over to God. I'm not a religious person by any means. I do think that there's great things that are written in the Bible. Like you said, do on to others. I've read the Bible a lot, many, many times. I grew up in a church, but I've read it many times. The gist of that book to me is don't be a dink.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. Yeah.
That's what I believe. Don't
it's true.
Treat the guy next door like you want to be treated, and we're all going to get along just fine.
It's true. Yeah.
But
yeah, and you know,
My biggest problem right now is there's a large amount of the population that thinks somebody's going to come and save them.
Well,
and that's not going to happen right now.
Yeah.
You're going to have to want to.
Yeah, I think people got to help the people that are trying to save them. Like it's sort of like a bus that slid off the side of the road. Some of the people got out of the bus and are trying to stop it from sliding off the cliff. The thing to do is get out and help.
Well, what's the saying? It takes a village?
Yes, sir.
So not just one person can do it, and not just a group of doctors you guys can't do it by yourselves.
No.
It's going to
take and in fact, people. Yeah. In fact, that's what, you know, it's interesting. If you look at the most recent, you know, evidence of what I consider the fraud and the criminality of these injections is the discovery in the last year of large quantities of DNA, what was supposed to be a messenger RNA shot, and some very concerning sequences. One that Pfizer completely hid out of the paperwork that it could even possibly have got in there. They pretended it wasn't even part of the manufactured process, which is a specific simian virus promoter sequence that helps migrate foreign DNA, the other stuff in the injection, into the nucleus and stitch it into the human. That's like genetically modifying human cells. There's a huge risk of that with these injections, and we're working on the details of mapping that. But if you look on October 9th, you know, the World Council for Health held an expert panel. I co-hosted it with Dr. Plota, and we had experts from around the world. And we had a panel, and we looked at this for hours and presentations, and that was the day we confirmed the DNA contamination, absolutely proven in multiple laboratories. There's no question. We'd be glad to bring a team from many countries to debate with anybody that wants to. So there's your scientists and doctors. Well, what do we do about it? Well, we just convened the next panel, and Shabnam Palesa Mohammed and I co-paneled that one on Monday. The same subject, this DNA contamination or adulteration, but now we had it with lawyers from around the world who are fighting against this. And we had a 4.5-hour panel on Monday. We'll be getting that information out. We want people to get it to any lawyer, activist, politician. So like you say, you know, it can't just be the doctors. Okay, so what happens if the lawyers fail? So in other words, what happens if the lawyers go to court and the courts turn out to be so corrupted that they do not fulfill their duty, and they tell the people, sorry, 2 + 2 = 5. You're wrong. Everybody has to take the shot. So, well, then who do we look for next? We don't go, okay, we'll all just die. It's like, okay, well, the lawyers couldn't pull it. The courts don't function. So there's many layers, you know, and I'll be honest. I would be so grateful to get a phone call from a general in this country to say, Mark, we understand what's going on now, and we're going to come to the defense of the people, or a police chief. But either way, we have got to survive, and we have got to return the rule of law to this planet and human rights.
Let's say the lawyers succeed. The government still has a contingency plan, and it's called the Emergencies Act. Once they put that in, they can do whatever they want.
We sure have some challenges.
Well, it's not going to be easy, but at the same
time,
if people keep going, it'll snowball. So I got a couple questions for you, and then I'm going to get you out of here, a couple quick ones. At the beginning of the show, I talked about spike support. Could you explain spike support and how it works, and why it would be beneficial for people to go and purchase that?
Sure. So So as I was saying earlier, you know, it's the genetic invasion is what triggers the problem, but what it triggers is the production of this spike protein, and a lot of it for a long time. And because of the nature of the artificial messenger RNA, and all, there's a lot of reasons that it's persistent. People could die a year after the shot and you see their tissue poison. So spike protein is a poison. So the one of the biggest pressure points that we have to help people who've been injured from these injections, or to detoxify before it becomes obvious that they're injured, is to try to detoxify the spike protein. And when we look at how to do that, it comes down to four main areas. One is to increase autophagy, which is the rate at which your body clears old garbage out, kind of like the way you pick dead leaves off of a tree so that the live leaves take the energy. So our body is always doing that. You want to accelerate it. So, and one of the biggest ways that you can accelerate that is no product at all. It's fasting, intermittent fasting. Eat in a 6 to 8 hour window. It's good for a lot of things. You as an athlete probably very familiar with it.
Yeah.
But you want to extend your life, reduce diabetes, heart disease, strokes, cancer, all the stuff. Intermittent fasting, meaning eat in a 6 to 8 hour window and don't eat except water and non-carbohydrate, non-sugar foods entirely on those other hours, and do like 3 day water fast, things like that. But there's other things you can do to increase autophagy, and some of those are nutrients. Then the next thing we do is we try to help break down the spike protein, like things that could be active that themselves digest it. And that includes natokinase and bromelain. Then the next thing you can do is try to block the spike protein's interaction with receptors in the body. And there's the receptor binding domain on the spike protein, and there's the receptor itself on the cells. So there's a variety of things that can interfere with that. Then the last thing is you try to reduce the over-inflammatory response that happens as a result of this whole process. So what you find in spike support protein, or the spike support formula, is elements from each of those nutrient categories. So to help digest it, to help block it, to help bump your autophagy, and to help reduce the inflammation. Now, there's at least 100 different things you could do, and supplements and natural products. So in the spike support formula, we've taken some good key ones and put together a good formula that is a really good start. So I would recommend to people, you know, to fast intermittently, do some 3 day fasting. Get on a healthy diet, hydrate well, exercise, live a healthy lifestyle. Make sure you have high vitamin D levels. And if you are exposed to injected people, especially if you get symptoms on how, or if you've been injected, get on the spike support formula. If you go on, as well as the Wellness Company and the World Council for Health websites, as well on my website, drtrozzi.org, you can type in detox and you'll get a video series that if people want to dive deep in, they can go in and look at tables of all kinds of things they can do. But the spike support formula is a really good, solid, giving you some of the key nutraceuticals, you know, nutrients that help the body, that in addition to the intermittent fasting and lifestyle changes and healthy living and hydrating, will help to reduce the symptoms. And you can be sure that we're going to be tweaking that or adding other formulas. For instance, we want to bring in a bromelain formula. So the Wellness Company keeps working on that. But that's essentially how that works.
So again, guys, if you want to find the spike support, go to twc.health/final shot, and you can find it there. Use my promo code final shot and you'll save some money on your purchase. Highly recommend it. If you don't, I'm going to buy it. I've already bought it. It's fantastic. Dr. Trozzi, last thing, we talked about kind of what's next. They're teasing what's next, and it's another pandemic. Do you believe that it'll be another corona type pandemic, or are we going to see something like monkeypox or some weird transformed pneumonia like we're seeing in China right now?
Well, that's a good question. The answer is a little bit complex, but I hope you don't mind. Sure. There's something that maybe is not as much on the map as it should be. And Geert Vandenbrosch, you know, the eminent vaccinologist, has helped me gain a lot of insights. But in December 2021, I gave a presentation to a congress in Brazil. People can find it on my site. Synergistic bioweapons. And what synergistic bioweapons describes is how this virus that wasn't that deadly, really, especially if we were allowed to treat it and people had high vitamin D levels. High vitamin D levels cannot be underestimated for a strong immune system. High vitamin D levels and low sugar diet, that and intermittent fasting, some of the top things you can do. But but when people take these injections, they actually enhance the virus and they actually drive the evolution of the virus. Now, when a virus comes around like coronavirus, like people get it. Kids, you don't even know they had it, or they barely have a sniffle, but they build real immunity that actually works. Natural immunity works. It doesn't matter variants. It kind of works across all of the sphere, and it'll adapt to different variants. But this very narrow injection-induced kind of temporary immunity before it makes things a lot worse, as in you're more likely to get COVID, this generates variants. The variants grow basically in the injected population. And those variants are particularly dangerous to the injected population. So there's kind of a cooking, I don't know if you'd call it a pandemic, but there's definitely a cooking issue of increased COVID infections and all other diseases, or what looks like all other diseases, in the injection victims. So that's one thing. They've got biolabs all over the world, right? And have they got a whole bunch ready to go when they want, if we don't lock them up soon enough? Yes. What's going on in China right now? I find this one a little bit interesting. And I haven't researched it so much that I would want to say I know exactly what's going on. But one thing I found odd was I was reading in, sort of a bit of the dinosaur lying media. And they presented that China was saying, well, this isn't a new variant or a new virus. It's just, kind of seasonal viral infections. And they're worse because of the effect of lockdowns on the immune systems. Now, the funny thing is that's true. You know, for instance, last year, as a result of the lockdowns alone, in fact, before you even got to injections, especially you didn't have injections in kids yet, RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, viral infections, not COVID, hospitalizations in children was up 700% in most countries 2 falls ago, as a result of the lockdowns. So when you lock down a population, especially the children, you disrupt the evolution of their immune system, and that generates infectious disease. So I think we're facing the issue of disease in the injected people, especially variants of COVID popping up that don't seem to affect the rest of the population much. I think we're dealing with unknown when they will send out another bioweapons lab or gain of function Fauci virus, and on what populations, and then the injections that they follow up with, those are all going to this mRNA thing, which was a failed technology before it started. Like, there's, if you look at mRNA and nanoparticle research on the 385 patients they tried it on before they did it to the whole world, it was a complete disaster and a failure. And they knew that. So I think there's all of those things going on. And the best thing I think people could do, like, you know, ultimately, what do you want to do? Well, A, if you've been jabbed, get on the detox. And it's great to get a supplement like our Spike Sport formula, but it's very important to do the other things like intermittent fasting and a healthy diet. Getting high vitamin D levels. There's one test you can get, and we'll try to make it available through the wellness company soon, is a blood test to check your vitamin D levels. You can get it, you have to pay for it. Because if people have levels above 50 nanograms per milliliter, that's an important number. If your vitamin D levels are above 50 nanograms per milliliter, your immune system is gonna perform wonderfully against all these problems. And then people need to join the fight. Like, if you haven't signed petitions to stop the WHO IHR amendment, if nothing else, at least sign some petitions, but get active, get on the phone to your politicians, tell them you better stop this right away, and get behind the people doing the right things, donate to the organizations that are fighting this, because they're not the ones taking your tax dollars. They're the ones trying to save you.
Well, if people want to ask you some questions or get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Well, on the one hand, it's a little tricky because I would get so many messages in a day, and I'd love to attend to everybody individually. It's hard to do that. However, my website, drtrozzi.org, is a wealth of information. It's searchable by keyword. I wish I had it indexed even better, but you can look starting at the present date and work your work back. People are interested in what really happened. Go into my library and change the order and go to the beginning and look at the first thing I published. This is not a vaccine. That I published about, you know, international law, about medical experiments and things like this. You can kind of trace it, but you can search, you type in cancer, you're going to get many articles about cancer, cancer and the jabs, how to resolve or how to reduce cancer, we'll say, detoxification. It's a wealth there. And most times that if people ask me a question, I've made a well-organized video on the subject. As well, the World Council for Health is a huge resource. We do online live shows every Monday, and the worldcouncilforhealth.org website. And of course, sponsored as we are here, the wellness company, you know, which is actually a partner in the World Council for Health too, you know, one of, you know, hundreds of organizations around the world working together to make the world a better place. So we're proud, you know, as the World Council for Health, you know, a nonprofit organization, we're proud to have some good business people doing great things. And that's why it's a real pleasure to be an advisor for the wellness company.
Well, Dr. Trozzi, I'm going to get you out of here today. You're the busiest man on the planet. I was very honored today to talk to you, and thank you for taking the time.
Tanner, it was truly a pleasure. And when I see you in person, don't hurt me, but I think you should give me some grappling lessons in case my bodyguards fail when when bad things happen.
Well, you could always hire me for a bodyguard if you'd like.
I'd love that. Where are you centered?
Saskatchewan.
All right. Well, if I get to Saskatchewan to call you, I have to work cheap because the David versus Goliath team, but there'll be home baked goods by my wife for sure.
I'll do it for free.
You rock.
Done awesome, deal.
Tanner. I'll keep doing what I'm doing for free too then. Thanks
Thank
so
you
much.
Very much. Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care, my friend. And you. Bye.